The joy it is to come back to this little church, Gadsden Primitive Baptist Church, to worship together and preaching the word of God among the saints of you. My heart is rejoiced to see this little congregation. Even though this is a small church, yet you have a high potentialities, and I thank and praise God for your pastor, Elder Mike Rogers, and his dedication and his ministry in this place. And I want to express my hearty thanks to pastor and deacons and every one of you who kindly invited me to come back to your church to preach for you and also to share the work that going on in the subcontinent of India. And also I want to say that the children to whom you have been sponsoring have inquired constantly about you, and I want you to know that they have been constantly praying for you, and they are very thankful and grateful to you all for what you have been doing in the lives of these little ones. You have made a change in this little one's life. So every one of them are eternally thankful to you, and every day they are remembering you all in their prayers. And also many greetings and regards and love from our fellow ministers. In every Monday, we preachers in our area get together for the time of prayer and sharing for each other what is going on in each field. They share about their success stories and also share about the difficulties and share the prayer requests. So we pray for one another. At the same time, we remember the churches I have known and the churches I have visited. So we remember all these churches in our prayers. So you, Gadsden Church, is in our prayers and our thoughts. So I am so thankful and grateful to God who made it possible to back to America to visit with you all. And this evening, as Elder Mike has shared with me, this is a God's thought, God's providence that I have. I am going to preach about the kingdom of God. Elder Mike is an expert. He is the best teacher ever I have seen on this subject. As far as I know, on this subject, the Lord has blessed him with much knowledge and wisdom. We have richly blessed by his ministry during his short visit in India 3-4 years back. So tonight, I would like you to all turn with me to Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13. This chapter talks about the 7 parables of our Lord Jesus Christ on the kingdom of God. Each parable teaches the treasures of the truth. I am not here to expound all these parables in detail, but I would like to bring an outline of this chapter. In the Gospel of Matthew, constantly we read the word kingdom of heaven. But whereas in the Synoptic Gospel, we read the kingdom of God. The word kingdom of heaven is mentioned in Matthew because Matthew wrote this Gospel to the Jewish people who are familiar with this term, kingdom of heaven. Mark and Luke, who wrote for the Romans and the Greeks, he has mentioned, these writers mentioned the kingdom of God. Both words are the same. Both kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven means the rule of God in the hearts of his elect. So when Elder Mike asked me, what would you give the definition on the word kingdom of God, all of a sudden I said, this is the rule of God. But Elder Mike has said, yes, there is more than that. I agree with the definition you have given, and I did not intended to give all the answers like that. The kingdom of God is, as you have already heard from Elder Mike about the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the shadow for the New Testament. The Old Testament scriptures have been fulfilled in the New Testament. There are much parallels from the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are interesting things I have already heard from Mike in India as well as even yesterday through his preaching. They all are very interesting and fascinating to study. And so in the history of Israel, in the beginning, God ruled them. It was a theocracy, rule of God. But in the due course of time, people of Israel, as they have watched the nations around them, they asked Samuel, just like other nations around us, we need a king. It was so reluctant to Samuel, it was reluctant to God, that they have rejected the theocracy and they want to have a monocracy in the land of Israel. So God has answered the request and appointed the first king, Saul. The first king itself, he failed in his reign. And after that, God has chosen David. Even though David was a man after his own heart, yet he had also failed in four areas of his life. And then Solomon, his excellent king, man of wisdom and knowledge, yet he also failed in his last days. After that, the kingdom was divided into two, 10 tribes, northern kingdom, 2 tribes of southern kingdom. All the kings of the both northern kingdom, northern and southern kingdoms, they have gone astray and led the people of Israel towards idolatry, except a few kings. And finally, God had to punish them by allowing the Gentile nation for the captivity. And after that, God had promised to send forth his king, as the King Messiah, Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus Christ is the King all over the world. And this worldly kingdom, the visible kingdom, came to an end. It was not existed for a long time. But the spiritual kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ has established on this earth, is a perpetual one. And it will be perpetual until his second coming. And so this night I want to share briefly about what does the parable teach us. There are 7 parables, and some parables are, the meanings are same. So I am not going to deal every one. So let us go to the first parable. The first parable talks about the receiving or the entering the king in the hearts of the elects. The parable of sower teaches 4 kinds of soil. We have already known all, we know all these details. You have expert preacher, so I no need to explain. The 4 soil, first kind of soil was wayside soil, the second soil was stony places, the third one was fell among the thorns, and 4th one is the good ground. These 4 grounds talks about 4 kinds of hearts. And the first soil talks about the hard hearted or the hard hearted hearts. See, a farmer plows his agriculture field. While he is flowing, the hard soil becomes soft. The soil becomes softened, on the thorns and the dust, everything is removed, and it was fertilized. It looks a good soil. But in the plowed and prepared soil, if automobiles run one after another, continuously, if the automobiles or pedestrians are walking or riding bicycle, in India, all things are happening in one road. Here only we can see cars and trucks, big motorcycles. But whereas in India, even in the highways, you will find all kinds of vehicles, trucks, cars, bullock carts, cycles, pedestrians, everybody will be there. So like even in the villages in India, farmers will plow the soil, people will walk through the field. So as they walk, as they cycling, as the bullock cart is going, as the tractor goes, the soft soil getting harder and harder and harder. And finally that place will become like a road. So this is what the Bible talks here. The wayside seed, there was no softness in the ground, so it did not get into the soil to grow. The same way, the gospel is preached, the word of God is preached, but some of the hearts who have the hard hearted, is closed minded, does not receive the word of God. When so many things are going and coming in the hearts, in the minds, when the heart is not allowed to the things of God, when the heart is allowed to the worldly things, the heart getting harder and harder. This we can see around the world. The second type of soil was talks about the shallowed heart. Shallowed heart. Some people receive the word of God all of a sudden, but all of a sudden they will give up, because there is no proper, no ground, proper ground to go in or to grow, to deeply rooted. This kind of people also often we can come across. Some people will receive the gospel message, all of a sudden they will give up. They are a kind of a sanguine personality. See, Socrates was the one who discovered four kinds of personalities: sanguine and pragmatic and melancholy and also choleric. Among these four characters, sanguine characters, they will immediately make a friendship with the people, all of a sudden they will give up. They will be very much interested to know things, immediately they will give up. They will make a decisions, all of a sudden they will give up. This kind of people are called sanguine. This kind of personality, people who have, do not receive the scripture. The third kind of heart is defiled heart. The soil, third kind of soil is thorny soil. Even though farmer plowing the soil, yet there are seeds of the thorn will be incipient deep down in the earth. This incipient and incipient seeds are lying under the ground. The moment it get water, as the wheat is growing, the seeds also will grow. Then the thorns will come and destroy the good crops. The fourth soil is the prepared and open heart. So this prepared and open heart, how do people get this heart? That's only the elect can be prepared, can be received the message of God, and the message of God will be multiplied and it will be fruitful. So here, this is what the Bible teaches as far as my understanding concerned. So four kinds of soil is the four kinds of hearts. I said the first heart is hardened heart. Second heart is shallowed heart. The third heart is defiled heart. The fourth heart is the prepared heart. The second parable teaches about the separation in the kingdom of God. Verses 24 to 30 and also verses 49. Here Jesus said, the kingdom of God is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the weeds and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householders came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go to gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This parable and also verse 49 says the same thing. So shall it be the end of the world. This is the kingdom of God is like a net casted into the sea. 49. So it shall be end of the world. The angels shall come forth and ever wicked. No, not that scripture. 39 or 49. Yeah, 47. Again, the kingdom of God, heaven is like unto net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessel, but cast into the bad away. This both parable teaches the same. In the kingdom of God, two kinds of people will be there. One is wheat, like a fish. The other group are like tares, or in the unnecessary things like in the fisherman's nets. But in the days, in the God's time, in the last time, God will separate. God will separate the wheat from the chaff. Sometimes God separates this wheat from the chaff by allowing tests, trials and difficulties. This separation takes place even on this earth as well as in the last days. So God's people are separated people. We are separated from the world and separated for God. Then the next parable, let us look into 31 to 33. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the earth come and lodge in the branches thereof. So kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It is a small seed sowed in the ground. When it grown, it becomes like a big tree, gives a shelter to birds and people. The same way kingdom of God is growing. The kingdom of God was started with the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. The church was started with the 12 disciples. Then it was added unto 120 disciples. Then it was 300 men. 300 people and 500 people added into the church. The church started in the small way, has grown more and more today all through the world. The kingdom of God has grown. So kingdom of God will continue to grow until the last elect heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and come into the kingdom of God. So kingdom of God and the church is linked together. God is ruling through the church. For example, in my village, in Primitive Baptist Church, I was the first Primitive Baptist in the whole India. I was baptized in the year 2000. After my baptism, after 1 year of teaching the truth, 31 members have got converted and joined in the church. With the 31 members, the church, first church was constituted in the year 2001, April. This church evangelized around the area. Later on, a church in Thinnapatti was constituted. And then, church in Vepamarathur was constituted. Then, Bommadi. Likewise, today, 16 churches have been constituted, both in the state of Tamil Nadu as well as in the state of Andhra Pradesh. And in all these 16 churches, about 700 members are worshipping the Lord and believing the doctrine what you are believing. And believing the practices, the same thing are practiced in these churches. The Lord has raised 13 ordained ministers. We had 16 ministers, but it's very sad, 3 had to leave the ministry because of so many problems. It is a kind of separation again. The kingdom of God is like a separation. They disguised themselves like a ministers. They came like a wolf covering the covering the sheep, and will teach different things. The same thing happened in our ministry. But I thankful that the Lord has separated them from us. And so today we have 13 ordained ministers and 3-4 other practicing ministers. In the days to come, they may be ordained in the right time. And we are thanking God, this church started just before 9 years ago, has grown up to this level. That's not because of me. I am nothing. Not because of our preachers. Not because of the members of our church. All through the grace of God. God is the one who regenerates in the hearts of the people. God is the one who predestinates His people even before foundation of the world. Those who are predestinated by God even before foundation of the world, in His time, God quickens their in the heart through the Holy Spirit, and thus they get regenerated. That's what the Psalm 110, beautiful song, says. In His day, thy people will be willing. So what made these people to be willing? That's the grace of God. Not man's effort. Not man's acceptance. People will say, you accept Jesus Christ. I accepted Jesus. Not man cannot accept Jesus Christ. God is the one who accepting people. So kingdom of God is growing. Isaiah chapter 60:22 says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. A little one shall become a thousand. This happens in our day. I pray that the Lord will be pleased to draw more and more elects all over the India, so that the primitive Baptist churches will be established in all states of India. Now we have a churches only two states. It is my prayer that God will be used us to plant in 23 other states. We have 25 different states in the country. Then fourthly, the kingdom of God is transforming the people. Verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. What does that mean? Commentators give different opinions about this scripture. But my understanding is, this parable talks about the transformation of the lives. Little leaven, it makes the whole flour makes leaven. So this, it teaches, when the rule of God come into the hearts of His elect, His all areas of His life is being transformed. If therefore any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things become new. So this transformation is taking place in many lives of the elect. I said, the Lord has established 16 churches all over India in 2 states. But in all these churches, 90% members are the Hindu converts. What made them to get converted? The grace of God, the transformation of the life. I want to tell you one example to illustrate this. We have a member in our church. After a little while, you will be seeing in the film show a beard man who is teaching in the tailoring center. There is a man, his name was Arumugam, but we changed his name as Luke, because he took the Hindu God's name. This Luke, before got converted, he was raised in a Hindu ashram. Ashram means monastery. Group of people who do not get married, who take celibacy and live together and take pilgrimages, studying the Hindu scriptures, living like a Hindu way of lifestyle. They are a kind of fanatics. So this Arumugam joined in this Hindu ashram in nearby Salem. He grown there. The Hindu priests, they believe on the natural medicine. So he is still practicing natural medicines and giving medicines to many people. They are getting healed. When he grown in his middle ages, I think in his 40s maybe, he got married with a woman, and he was sent out from the ashram. After he got a child, his wife became very sick. She was not able to take care of the child. On hearing about our orphanage in Chettipatti, he brought his girl, she was 5 years old at that time, and requested me to take the girl in the orphanage. I said, we do not have a place, or we do not have a sponsor to take your child. You have to wait until we get new sponsor. But this man was very persistent in requesting me. Sir, we do not have even a better place to stay. my wife is very, very, she is suffering from disease, terrible disease. We need your help desperately. It was the time David Hoffman from Cincinnati was with me. He was listening to our conversation, but he could not understand what was going on. So he asked me, "What's going on? What is your conversation?" I said, what we have discussed. Then he said, "I would like to sponsor this girl." Then I took this girl in the orphanage. After that, he left. After a month, he came to visit with her daughter, with his daughter. I took an opportunity to sit and study the scripture. And he can quote Hindu scriptures well versed. He studied very well. And he tried to refute me with his Hindu scripture. But after his next visit, then again, I wanted to spend time with him. He was spending time with me. He started listening. Then the Lord started working in his heart. Then I started praying for him. After, again, I made another appointment. I invited him to come back. He sat with me and studied the scripture. Then again I invited him to come back. I spent more time. As we were studying together the word of God, God touched his heart. Then he said, "I have studied all through my life about the Hinduism. Now I have come to know the Hinduism is completely fraud. The Christianity is the true religion." So he said, I never talk about baptism, but of course, I was teaching the scripture. But I did not ask him to, "You must baptize, you come for baptism." He himself said, "Sir, I wanted to be baptized. Will you baptize me? I want to become a member of your church." It was a great joy for me to baptize that man. So I baptized him and changed his name as Luke. On seeing the changes taken place in his life, his wife also got converted. And both of them joined in our church. Now he is one of the deacons in my church. Also, he is serving in a tailoring center, teaching the women how to sew the dresses, how to make dresses. And not only that, he is powerfully witnessing Christ in the community where he lives. People are listening to him. "Are you the one who became a Christian? You used to be like a Hindu, priest, even more than a priest. You had a well knowledge. You used to spend time in Mount Himalaya." And people amazed to see him and hearing the gospel. So this is what God is doing in the lives of his people. God is transforming the people. So kingdom of God is like a leavened bread making transformation. So I can tell several testimonies like this one after another. Each individual in our church has interesting testimonies. God has worked in an amazing way. That's why today we have churches in India. Then the kingdom of God is costly. Chapter 13, 44 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This both of the parable is teaching the same thing. So the kingdom of God has a higher and higher value. Kingdom of God is costly. In order to experience this kingdom of God, the world things has to be passed away. There is a real story, and the real incident happened during the 1960s. There was a feudalistic system prevailed in the country of India. You know feudalistic systems. Each area there will be a king, a landlord. Under him, all people will be slaves. In a place called Tanjore, there was a farmer slave. He was plowing a field. While he was plowing, plow that hit it like a rock, like a stone. Then he wanted to remove that. While he was removing that stone, underneath the stone there was brassly pot under that. And then he opened it full of coins, gold coins. Then he completely covered everything and went to the king. He said, the king used to give some gifts to the people who were faithfully working for him. So he said, King, I need at least 1 acre property from you. Then the king said, I cannot give you as a free, because if I give you free of cost, I will have to give others also. I want to treat everyone equal. So this man said, okay, King, please tell me how much should I pay. He set up a price that was a cheaper price, but that was a higher for him. He did not have enough money to buy that. Anyway, he agreed, okay, King, I will pay for this amount. I want to acquire the piece of property, 1 acre land. So he came back to his house, asked his wife, she was having some jewelries. He asked, give the jewelries, I need to sell everything. So she gave reluctantly. She asked, why are you selling all these things? Don't ask all these things. You give, I will tell you later. Then after that, he counted the money. After selling the jewelry, yet the money was not enough. Then he came and saw some other household things. He asked his wife, oh dear, I want to sell all these things. What happened to you? You have sold my jewelry. Now you are asking the household things to sell. Are you crazy? What happened? Then he said, don't talk all these things. You don't see, just you give all those things. Again, she was so upset. She was worried because she was suspicious of his husband, whether he is spending the money extravagantly. Then he sold everything. Finally, the money was not enough. He had to sell even his house. He sold the house, finally got the enough money. So he paid the money to the king, acquired the 1 acre property. Later on, he took up that pot of gold coin and he became a rich man. That's what I read in a book. So in order to acquire the greater things, he had to sell the lower things. The same way, the kingdom of God is costly. So in order to experience the higher things, the smaller things, the worldly things, we need to put away. So kingdom of God is costly. 2 Samuel 24:24 says, and the king said unto Aruna, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doeth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. You know the story. When David counted his army, this was displeased to God. Then God had to punish his people because of David's sin. Then finally, David realized, he repented, he wanted to offer sacrifice to God. But he did not want to sacrifice God, which cost nothing. So he asked Aruna, can I have this property? Can I have this land? He was very happy. You are the king. You can take. But he said, no. I don't want to offer sacrifice to my God, which cost me nothing. So he paid and sacrificed. So kingdom of God is costly. In India, to become a Christian, it costs many things. It costs their relatives, it costs their parents, it costs losing many benefits from government. It costs several things. I will close with one more testimony. There was a man named James. He was the first convert in my ministry. The Lord has graciously worked in his life. When I started this ministry in the year 1997, I started tutorial centers in different villages. He is one of the tutorial teachers. When he joined, he was a staunch Hindu. His father is a Hindu priest, more than a Hindu priest. Every Friday, this man would be possessed with a demonic spirit, and he will foretell, he will predict the future of the people. Till today he is practicing the same thing. On particular day, on particular occasion, when he offers some pujas, this happens. This, his son, he was Nagarajan, I changed his name, James. He started studying the scripture after 1 year. I spent time with Luke, I spent time with him. After 1 year, the Lord worked in his heart. Then his life is completely changed. I baptized him. On knowing that he baptized and joined in the church, his father said, you cannot be my son unless you renounce the Christian church. You should not go to church. You should not read the Bible. You should not keep the Bible in the house. And one day when he hide the Bible somewhere, he found and took out the Bible and torn and throw it away. Then finally he threatened him, you should not be a Christian. He said, you cannot change me. You are telling all these things out of ignorance, but I am believing and following the true God. Then he said, okay, if you do not renounce Christ, better you leave the house. From now on, you are no more my son, I am no more your father. So you must forget your father and mother, and you must leave the house. You will not inherit any property. He said, well, Dad, Mom, I love you so much. You are talking all these things because you don't know what you are talking. I will leave the home, but still I love you. I will pray for you. With the tears, he left the house and lived with me for 2 years. After 2 years, I placed him in one village as an evangelist to work. And he well trained, and he started preaching slowly. Then the Lord has really showed his grace upon him. He has grown much. And he started preaching. Then the local church, later stage, in the year 2002, the local church called him for ordination. So he was ordained as a minister. He was preaching in Tinnapatti church. For his wedding, his mother and father did not attend. I represented his father's place in the wedding. And also in none of the occasions he attended. The Lord has powerfully used him. the Lord has really done a wonderful things. But the sad story is, after his marriage, after 8 months of his marriage, he got a brain tumor and he died. He went to be with the Lord. Even for the death, this man came but did not enter into the church. He stood outside and just looked at and said, the other day I cursed him, so he died. His heart was so hardened. But one thing I tell you, today, because the Lord has used this man in that place, many more people have got converted. The Lord has used him as like a mustard seed. So the kingdom of God is costly. So this night, these are my thoughts about the parable of kingdom of God. But one, in the parable of kingdom of God, God is using his people, those whose hearts are well prepared. Secondly, the kingdom of God is separated like chaff and wheat. Thirdly, the kingdom of God is growing and it permeates the whole area of our lives. It permeates all through the world. Then the kingdom of God is transforming the lives of individuals in the community, and God is making his elect to be an impact in the community, and he is using his people as instrumental to reach others. Finally, the kingdom of God is costly. May God bless these scriptures. Thank you.